Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt yielded great power as America's longest-serving First Lady. She worked on social issues separate from the public policy of her husband. And in the years after her time in the White House, she continued to work in the public interest as a diplomat and women's rights activist. Now, in her new book, Brookline author Susan Quinn argues that Eleanor Roosevelt's 30-year romantic relationship with a female AP reporter helped make Roosevelt into a truly great leader. Susan Quinn joins us now in the studio, and she's author of Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. Susan Quinn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
So the Hick in the title of your book is one Lorena Hickok. Why don't you just first of all start by tell us who is she?
Well, Lorena Hickok was a very successful AP reporter in a man's world. There were very few women journalists who made it to the top and got off the women's pages, which she managed to do. She grew up in South Dakota in really difficult circumstances. Her abusive father kicked her out of the house when she was 14. She worked as a maid for years. Somehow or other, she managed to succeed as a reporter in Minneapolis and then in New York, and then got assigned to cover Eleanor Roosevelt in 1932.
And so that's how they first met then.
Yes.
Well, just to get a sense as to some of the feel of their relationship, I'd love if you could read a brief passage from your book that it gives us a peek into the early stages of them getting to know each other. And Eleanor Roosevelt and Lorena Hickok are riding a train to Potsdam, New York. First of all, tell us why they were going there, and then I'd love to hear the passage.
Well, they were going for the funeral of FDR's friend and maybe mistress, Missy's mother, and Eleanor was going, and Hick accompanied her as she did everywhere at this point because she was covering her for the AP. She's also falling in love with her. And this is the beginning of the change in that relationship. There was only one room for the two of them on the train, a drawing room with a single berth and a long, narrow couch. Eleanor insisted on giving Hick the berth and taking the couch for herself. "I'm longer than you are," she explained, "and," she added with a smile, "not quite so broad." They talked long into the night, sharing stories of their childhoods, seemingly so different but alike in their misery. Hick told Eleanor about her violent and abusive father and her teenage years as a maid in other people's houses. Eleanor told Hick about her disapproving mother, about the tragic death of her father, whom she adored, about the life in the home of her strict grandmother, and about the aunts who called her the ugly duckling. Hick asked, "May I write some of that?" Eleanor replied, "If you like, I trust you."
That's Susan Quinn reading from her new book, Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. How far did this love affair go? I mean, there's platonic love out there. What, was it more than platonic?
I'm convinced that it was. When they were apart, they wrote about wanting to hold each other in each other's arms, about longing for each other, about kissing each other's photographs. So I think it was physical. I think there was a lot of hugging and kissing and maybe more. Hick was a lesbian. She had another relationship before this one, and I think probably introduced Eleanor, who was rather an inhibited person, to physical love. How far it went, there's no way of knowing.
Right.
But I think, and I believe it was a love affair.
Now, Lorena Hickok actually, do I have this right? She moved into the White House, or she had a room in the White House during the Roosevelt administration?
For almost the entire 14 years that the Roosevelts were in the White House, Hick had a room in the White House. And she was there a lot of the time. She was out on the road a lot because she was covering, after she couldn't be a reporter anymore because she was so close to Eleanor and had so many secrets, she had to leave the AP. So then she went on the road for the New Deal and wrote wonderful reports from the road. So she was on the road a lot. But when she was in Washington, she stayed in her room at the White House.
Okay. So you just touched upon a question I had about obviously what impact this relationship would have on Hick's ability to do her job for the Associated Press. But you know, she couldn't do it after a while, as you said. But more importantly, I mean, the subtitle of your book is The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. So what did this relationship with Hick, what impact did it have on Eleanor Roosevelt?
Eleanor was very reluctant to be a first lady. She had a life of her own. After 1918, when the Lucy Mercer affair, when she learned about Lucy Mercer, FDR's mistress, that marriage became a working partnership more than a romantic relationship. So Eleanor had forged a life for herself, a life in New York that involved a lot of other political women. She was a teacher, a writer, and she loved her life. And she realized she was going to have to give most of it up to be first lady. So she really didn't want it. She was pretty down about it, in fact. And Hick was the one who helped her through that difficult period and encouraged her to, for one thing, write the My Day column, which she wrote for her whole life. That started out as letters from Eleanor to Hick. They exchanged thousands of letters. And in these letters, Eleanor would report on her day. And soon they realized that this could be a column. And that became My Day, a column that Eleanor wrote until almost the day she died. So for many, many years. And it was what introduced her to the American public and made her the first lady that she became. So that was a big deal. And then she also helped her with, this encouraged her to have these all-women press conferences. Uh-huh. So women reporters came to have these press conferences with Eleanor and became her best advocates.
Right. Well, because you were saying a couple minutes ago that Hick did a lot of traveling because of the New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have any, I mean, vis-a-vis her relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt, did that have any effect or influence at all on the New Deal policies of FDR? I mean, due to Eleanor's influence?
Absolutely. These reports that that Hick wrote from the field were very vivid, and Eleanor read all of them, and Hick also wrote letters to Eleanor about what was happening, and Eleanor would pass on all of this to FDR. And FDR actually got a lot of information from Hick's reports. So in that way, Hick influenced Eleanor, and Eleanor influenced FDR. And some of the, for instance, the whole homestead program, which Eleanor wound up establishing, new homes for people in mining communities and other desperate communities, that whole initiative grew out of Eleanor's working with Hick in the mines of West Virginia. Hmm. So the two of them were a team and helped each other in many ways.
Well, you know, you talked about that you've read many, many of the letters that the two women wrote to each other, thousands, right, of letters
over 3,000.
Yeah, because we're talking about, 30-year really mm-hmm. long relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if those letters existed, and they're in the FDR library?
Yes, they are.
Why is it that this relationship seems to not be part of so many biographies up until now of Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, people were uncomfortable with the idea for a long time of this great first lady who was so revered having this relationship with another woman, the idea of this lesbian relationship, if that's what it was, and I think it was, made people uncomfortable. And the letters actually have been available since 1978 and written about in various ways. There was an early book about the relationship which tried to kind of downplay the passionate parts of it. And since then, it's kind of dribbled out. But no one's really looked at it fully.
Yeah. Well, in the last minute that we have, whatever became of Lorena Hickok?
Well, it's a poignant story. She really had to give up reporting, which, as she said, was the thing she did better than anything else in her life. So then she went on to a number of jobs as a reporter for the New Deal, and she worked for the Democratic Party. She continued to write, but by the end of her life, she was really struggling. Eleanor, however, being the kind of woman she was, never forgot Hick and always kind of rescued her. So at the end of her life, she was living in Hyde Park. She had her own place, and she actually had a small success writing children's biographies, including one of Helen Keller, which kept her in rent and food. But it was not an easy ending.
Not an easy ending because, I mean, was she facing poverty? Or?
Well, yes. She was on the edge of poverty. And then after Eleanor died, she lived on for another 6 years. She, at the very end, asked to be cremated. And her ashes stayed on the shelf in the funeral home for another 20 years until very recently, a few people in Hyde Park decided to recognize her and put her ashes into a a grave.
Well, unclaimed probably because the woman who loved her most had died even before her.
Yes.
Well, Susan Quinn's new book is Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. Thank you so much for sharing this story, uncovering the story, and sharing it with us.
It's my pleasure.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.